Turning your Bibles tonight, Proverbs chapter 9, Proverbs chapter 9. We've been looking on Sunday evenings at the book of Proverbs, and we'll be there the next few weeks. Proverbs chapter 9, and I want to begin reading at verse 9. It says, give instruction to a wise man, and he will be still wiser. Teach a righteous man, and he will increase his learning. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of the wisdom, and knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. For by me your days will be multiplied, and years of life will be added to you. If you are wise, you are wise for yourself, and if you scoff, you alone will bear it. Let's pray together. God, we thank you for your holy word. We pray that we can take these gems of wisdom and may they shine brightly in our souls as we listen to the truth that your Spirit teaches us from your word. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. For we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. What do you want out of life? I heard that question asked one time by a college professor. He was not a Christian professor, he was a secular professor. But he asked that question, what do you want out of life? And most of the questions that I heard from the students in that class, and again, this is not a Christian school, not a Christian class, they said something like this: I want to live a long, full, and happy life. A long, full, and happy life. They didn't say anything about making lots of money, though a few did. Very few. Most of the time it wasn't about making money. It wasn't about being popular. It wasn't about having positions of power. It was very simple. I want to live a long, full, and happy life. Now, for some people, to live a full and happy life means having power. It means having fame or popularity. It means having lots of money. But for most of them, it goes beyond that because they knew you could have those things and still not be happy. You can have power, you can have fame, you can have popularity, and still not be happy. We see it all the time. They sell those magazines on the rack as you check out at Kroger and Walmart because people are miserable in their lives and they're telling you all about their misery. And they sell all those magazines on the rack as you go out. Most of us, I think, would desire that we would experience a long, full, and happy life. But we would probably disagree on how to achieve that goal. I think the Scripture, though, gives us some insight exactly how we can experience God's standards and live a long, full, and happy life. The writer of Proverbs says this: for by me your days are multiplied, and years of life will be added to you. And he says, before he says that in verse 11, he gives us the key to that in verse 10. He says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. There's basically two points I want to make tonight. And the first is this: we should learn to know and to fear the Lord. We should learn to know and fear the Lord. The Bible says this is the beginning of wisdom. Now, we've talked in the past about the difference between wisdom and intelligence. Intelligence has to do with how much we know, just bare facts, the essence of facts. It's knowing calculations. It's knowing, it's just knowing a bunch of facts. But wisdom is knowing what to do with those facts. It's how to apply those facts. It's not only that, but it has to do with taking those facts and applying them to God's wisdom, to God's truth, to God's plan, to God's world in a way that He is glorified. It says the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. It is the first and most important aspect of wisdom, is to know and fear the Lord. Now, what does it mean to fear the Lord? Well, it has to do with reverence, awe, and respect. I noticed when I moved here in Texas, and I like living in Texas in so many ways, but I noticed when I moved here in Texas, there's some things that I noticed from young people that I did not get living in the Midwest, living in Kentucky, living in Indiana, living in Illinois. I noticed people said yes, sir, and no, sir. You don't get that everywhere. You sort of take it for granted here, but people respond to me, yes, sir, no, sir, so often. And most places in the country that I've lived, that is not the case. And the reason people respond is they're taught to show respect to people around them by saying yes, sir, and no, sir. And I think that's a good principle to follow. I think it's good that they show that kind of respect. Now, I think you can have respect without saying yes, sir, or no, sir, but I think it is one way to show respect and to respond to people in an appropriate way, in an appropriate fashion. But it seems like to me that there's so many people that don't have a respect, a reverence, and awe for the Heavenly Father. I heard something John MacArthur said years ago. He was preaching a Bible conference in Memphis, Tennessee, and I was there to listen to him. And he was talking about a pastor friend of his that said he had his conversations with Jesus while he was shaving in the mirror. He said, I have this conversation. He said, Pastor John, would you believe that Jesus is right there beside of me as I'm shaving in the mirror and I'm having a conversation with him? And he said, well, I don't believe that, because if you were really having a conversation with Jesus, you wouldn't be shaving, you'd be on your knees. You'd be on your knees bowing in reverence and awe. Now, I know what the guy was saying. The guy's saying, Jesus is my friend and he's with me wherever I go, but John MacArthur was pointing out the fact that too many times we have made this casual relationship with Jesus all-consuming, all-encompassing, and we need to get back to that reverential awe, fear, and respect for the Heavenly Father and for His Son, Jesus Christ. And the Bible says that is the beginning of wisdom. It's not that we shiver in our boots when we think about God and we fear for our lives, but it is a reverential awe and respect for Him. I love my dad. He went to be with Jesus in 2002. I respected him. I respected him. But I also feared him. And you know, when I feared him the most is when I did something I knew he disapproved of. And often we lived on a farm, we worked on a farm. And he was a pastor, but he was also a carpenter. He was a builder, a contractor. And so he worked during the day. Often during the summertime especially, he would give us assignments, work that needed to be done on the farm. And when he got home, he would come to check if we had done exactly what he asked us to do. And I remember on one particular occasion, we were supposed to hoe out this field of tobacco. We raised tobacco back then. God forgive us. But we raised tobacco, and my dad had plowed out the fields when he came home from work the day before. But then you go between the tobacco plants and you chop out the weeds so the tobacco grows and the weeds don't take it over. And so we had to chop out the weeds. And, I mean, we're not talking a half acre of tobacco. We're talking a couple of acres of tobacco. And Dad says, I want you guys, and there was me and my brother and two neighbor boys. He said, I want you guys to chop out. And he told the two neighbor boys, he said, I'll pay you for the work you do. But he said, you boys, I expect you to get it done. And so it was hot that day. And we went out one row and we came back the other row. And went out we got to the end of that second row. And I thought, man, we're flying through this field. We'll be done in plenty of time before Dad gets home. But it's hot. And we had no farm pond. Right on top of the hill, above the old tobacco patch, the place where the cows went to cool off. It was not a clean pond. It was a muddy old pond. But we went out there and we started getting in the pond and we'd swim a while and we'd get cool off and then we'd go do another row out and back. Then we'd go crawl in the pond again. And I mean, it was obvious we'd been in that pond. It was red clay, and we had red clay, and our hair was red. Our skin was red. Our clothes were red. It was obvious we'd been in that pond, and Dad had always said, don't get in that pond. It's nasty. Cows bathe in that pond. They mess in that pond. Don't get in that pond. But we did exactly what Dad told us not to do. And I never will forget. He comes home. We could hear his truck coming up the hill. I could hear his truck door slam. And I knew he didn't go into the house because I could hear the screen door slam if he went into the house. And I didn't hear the screen door slam. And he comes out back behind the barn. And from the barn, he could look down the rows of that tobacco patch. And he could see that only half the work was done. Because we had played around in that pond all day long and done very little work. And I heard him yell, are you boys in that pond? And we snuck out of that pond. We went down to the neighbor's house. We tried to wash off. And then we snuck around back the other direction and tried to come in the back door of the house and get changed and get cleaned up before Dad saw us. But he knew we had been in that pond. And I want you to know, I feared what my dad would do. And I had every right to fear because he laid it on us. I mean, we got a whipping. I didn't get too many whippings at that age, but we got a whipping because he told us to do something and we didn't do it. The Bible says whom the Lord loves, he disciplines. He whips. And we need to have that reverential awe, fear, and respect. To know that God loves us so much, he won't let us get by with misbehaving. He's going to discipline us. And we need to fear him enough that we know he will discipline us when we misbehave. And the Bible says that is the beginning. That is the beginning of wisdom. Solomon, he wrote the book of Proverbs. He searched for wisdom and desired wisdom above all else. When God said, Solomon, ask what you will, and I'll give it to you. And Solomon asked that God will give him wisdom. The application of that wisdom was not always what it should have been. But he searched for wisdom, and at the time of his life, he was considered the wisest man in the world. He searched for wisdom above all else, and he's the one that made this statement, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Do we respect God? Do we fear God? When I look at the stories of the New Testament, I think there ought to be a little more fear of God in all of us. I mentioned Ananias and Sapphira this morning. They misbehaved. They claimed to give more to God's work than they had actually given, and God struck them dead. And the Bible says fear came upon the entire church. You see over and over again the book of 1 Corinthians. I mentioned that again this morning. How the church there is taking the Lord's Supper and they're doing it in a manner that is improper and inappropriate. And Paul warns them about that. He said, for this reason, some of you are sick and some of you have even died because you've taken the Lord's meal, the Lord's Supper, in an inappropriate manner. There's fear that should come upon us as we think about God punishing us for our misbehavior. We claim the Lord is our master, and in moments of need, we cry out to him. But when he meets that need, he is often quickly forgotten, and we go on about our business. During the first Gulf War, I was pastoring in Henderson, Kentucky at the time. And there was a number of our churches in the area there, Evansville, Indiana, just right across the river from Henderson, Kentucky. And in Evansville and Henderson, that metropolitan area, a number of our guys were called out. National Guardsmen were called out. And so our churches began to pray for these guys who'd been called out to serve in the military. And there was a revival that broke out in our churches in that area. Emphasis on prayer and renewal. And we saw this revival, this renewal, a fervency of following Christ and asking God's protection. But then the war started coming. Boys started coming back home. Girls started coming back home. And people sort of forgot about God. And this attitude of apathy just crept in again. 911 hit. Again, we saw a breakout of revival and renewal. One of the largest prayer meetings I ever had in my church, ever, was the night of 911. We called our people, said, we're having prayer at church. We need to pray for our nation, pray for the people. We had about 150 people in our church that night. Spontaneously, they just started calling folks. People showed up, and we probably spent an hour or two just praying. Just people at the altar, people praying, seeking God's face. Biggest prayer meeting I was ever a part of as a pastor. But then 9/11 came and went, and apathy crept back in. And we see this over and over again. We have this foxhole mentality. As long as things are good, and God is, or when things are difficult and God is protecting us, we fear Him and respect Him and we cry out to Him. But then when things are good, we quickly forget what He's about. We put Him to the side. And we forget His principles and His truth. We know today that about a third of our population in America aren't committed to any kind of faith or religion. They're called the nuns, N-O-N-E-S. It's the largest group in my lifetime that commit themselves to no religious affiliation whatsoever. Not Baptist, not Pentecostal, not Christian, not Muslim, not Hindu, not Buddhist. They don't affiliate or relate to anything or anyone. One third of the population. The good news, there's about a third of the population that is committed to Christ. And it's probably their level of commitment is higher than it's been in my lifetime for those who are truly committed. But there's that group in the middle. There's that group in the middle that's made up of Christians who occasionally go to church and those who aren't Christian at all, don't even call themselves Christians, but have some kind of belief in God, some kind of understanding of God, some kind of seeking after God. That group in the middle, they need to know and fear and respect God and have a knowledge of Him. It would be wisdom to their souls. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. Talked about what fear is. Let's talk about what knowledge is. This word for knowledge it's not just knowing about God. It's not knowing facts about God, but it's actually having a relationship with God. It's being able to say, I actually know Him. Do you all know who Jack Graham is? Pastor of First Baptist Church, Prestonwood. I know some of you do. Some of you have been in his church. One of the largest churches at the Southern Baptist Convention. Certainly one of the largest churches in Texas. He's on TV and radio all the time. Well, for 2 years, I sat beside of Jack Graham at the Southern Baptist Convention Executive Committee meetings. He sat here on my left. I sat here on the right. I mean, almost as close as Matt and Tony are to each other. I had two big chairs, executive chairs. We sat at a table together because we were in alphabetical order. He was the last G. I was the first H. And we sat together at those meetings for 2 years. Jack Graham does not know me. And I don't know Jack Graham. We sit together those meetings, but I don't know the guy. I know about the guy. I know who he is. I know the church he pastors. But he didn't know me, and I didn't know him because we didn't have a relationship with each other. We just attended the same meetings together. And I could say, oh, I know Jack Graham. But I didn't really know Jack Graham. You've met people like that. People that you know who they are, you know their position they have in the community. It's sort of like, I know Charles Stanley. I've met Charles Stanley. I've had conversations with Charles Stanley. but Charles Stanley doesn't know me. And I don't really know him. He's just somebody I met, and we had a casual conversation. But I know who he is. But that's not the kind of knowledge that the writer of Proverbs is talking about. He's talking about an intimate knowledge, a relationship, a friendship with God. He says the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Knowledge, this intimate relationship with the Heavenly Father, with the Holy One, brings understanding. It is understanding. And he said, as a result of that, your days will be multiplied and years of life will be added to your life. Now, it doesn't really come out in the New American Standard, but if you read some translations, it talks about your days will be multiplied and the years of life will be added to you. I think that days shall be multiplied talks about quantity, but it also talks about greatness of days, or you shall have great days, in other words. In other words, you shall not just have a number of days, but the days you have will be great. You won't just have a great number of days, but the days you have will be great. So he's talking both about quantity, length of life, but also quality of life. That knowing God brings a quality to your life that you could not have any other way. You shall have greatness of days, or you shall have great days. I think both of those truths are implied in that passage and taught in that passage. See, eternal life is not just life live forever. It's life live forever in the goodness and greatness and glory of God. And God wants us to experience a little bit of that before we get to heaven. He wants us to take His wisdom, apply it to our lives, and bless us here on this earth so that we experience a little bit of blessing, a little bit of heaven before we get to heaven. Long life means nothing unless life is meaningful. Long life means nothing if a person is miserable for that entire period of time. A person's life will not be very meaningful until they learn to respect God and until they learn to know God. I want to tap into one verse here in Proverbs chapter 10, verse 26. It says, the righteous is... Wrong chapter. No, I had it right. Verse 25. When the whirlwind passes, the wicked is no more, but the righteous has an everlasting foundation. Proverbs 10, verse 25. The righteous have an everlasting foundation. The foundation is your relationship with God. Jesus said, I'm the cornerstone. You're built upon the cornerstone of Jesus Christ, the foundation of the apostles and prophets, which is the Word of God. But you are my living stones, a holy priesthood, built up to carry out my purpose, my plan in this world. And God wants us to live our lives in such a way that we know Him, and having known Him, our life is full. Jesus said, I've come that you might have life and have it abundantly. He wants us to have abundant blessings. Do you desire to have a long, full, happy life? Fear God. Do you want to experience God's eternal life? Fear God. Do you want to live forever? Fear God and have a relationship with Him. Allow His life to be poured into us to give us meaning and fullness. Martin Luther is known for his part in what we call the Great Reformation. He was a Catholic priest. Did you know that? He was a Catholic priest who tried to be made right with God by doing good deeds. The story tells us, his biography tells us, he went to the Via Dolorosa and he climbed up the steps and the stations of the cross, and he cried out to God and tried to find peace and contentment. But he found none. He would beat himself, abuse himself to try to destroy these desires of the flesh that he felt. And he could find no peace. And finally, one day, he was reading out of the book of Romans, and it says, the just shall live by faith. And it just struck a chord. The just shall live by faith. Those who are made righteous, they are made righteous by faith. And he realized at that moment there was nothing in his life that he could do to be made right with God. It was simply a simple act of faith that Christ had done the work on the cross, and he needed to receive God's sacrifice through his Son by simply believing in him. And he said at that moment, it was like a weight lifted off his shoulders, and a light penetrated his soul, and he was relieved of his guilt, and he discovered a relationship with the Heavenly Father. And it led to the Great Reformation. And eventually, what we would call Protestant churches were born out of that Great Reformation. And there was a revival even in the Catholic Church of some of the abuses that were going on during the time of Martin Luther. But he was a priest who tried to find meaning in life through these religious rituals and sacrifices and pilgrimages. But he found no relief. He found no hope. He found no peace until he came to that true knowledge of Jesus Christ. And when he came into a relationship with him, it gave his life meaning and fullness and hope. My friends, we have that hope. And if we live with the knowledge of the Holy One and we take his word and apply it to our hearts and lives, he can give us fullness of life, joy unspeakable, full of glory, peace that passes all understanding, love that's unconditional, all the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. These are the fruits of knowing God and walking according to his plan for our lives. Make sense? If there's one verse you probably need to memorize in Proverbs 9, we looked at the one not too long ago, Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not unto thy own understanding. That's a popular one for many of you. But I would say this is number two for me. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Every youth, every adult, every child should know those words. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And knowledge of the Holy One will bring understanding. You see, we don't understand God's Word without a relationship with Him. But with the relationship, through His Holy Spirit, He gives us insight into His truth. And once we know Him, we can understand His plan, His ways.